At this time, the Speaker recognizes the Majority Leader, my good friend and colleague, Representative Brian Cutler of Lancaster County, for remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Governor Wolf, First Lady Wolf, friends, colleagues, both those here currently and the former who are joining us, I want to welcome you to democracy's front porch. This is a great place for us to talk as friends and neighbors as we begin our journey together on this new legislative session, fittingly on New Year's Day. I think it's time that we take a moment to reflect as well as celebrate, because I think that we have a lot to celebrate. We begin a new year with the promise of advancement, prosperity, and change. And we begin the new session with the opportunity to make laws that will give everyone, regardless of their current position in life, an opportunity to experience earned success. But as we celebrate, I would also like to invite us to remember the most important people today are not the ones here in this beautiful chamber. They're the people back home, the ones that we are called to represent, and the ones that we cover in each of our legislative districts. We're very unique. There's 203 legislative districts, and everything that we do, should be doing, and must be doing, is for them. While some people believe that the most important work that we do here is the laws, it's been my experience that the most rewarding work are those that when we help those we represent. And I'd like to share a brief story because I think it is absolutely fitting. Right after being elected to the position of whip 4 years ago, I had one of our local newspaper reporters in my office, and she looked, and I have several bills on the wall that I've thankfully had signed by governors of both parties in my tenure here in this legislature. And she says, "What is the most important thing that you've accomplished?" And without missing a beat, and as I notably watched her as she looked around the room trying to decide which bill that I would pick, I said, "That's easy." And I picked up my cell phone and I showed her a picture. It's a picture of a young man named Noah. Noah, I encountered very early on in my legislative career. You see, his family stopped at our local legislative booth that we had at our agricultural fair, the Solanco Fair. I invite everybody to come down to it. It's 3 days of great food, truthfully, that you probably should eat before you make the New Year's resolution because it's not all that healthy all the time. But his family stopped, and they were in quite a quandary. You see, they shared that he was very young and that he had a brain tumor. And heartbroken, they explained not just the medical issues that they were having to overcome, but the issues of insurance. Because the issue that they were stuck with was the only place in the country that could treat him happened to not be here in the Commonwealth. So we got to work. We called the insurance company. We made the necessary contacts to fix his problem. And it is my honor to ask Noah, who was here in the well of the House this morning, or this afternoon rather, to stand and be recognized for his bravery, because he is my hero. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, that's truly what this job is all about. Advocating, working on behalf of all of the individuals like that in our district, our communities, our friends, and our neighbors. And thankfully, his parents stop and see me every year at the Solanco Fair. We'll have one of those 3 nights, and we get our picture taken together, and I've got a great collection of pictures on my phone. So I want to thank his family for always making time to update me on the progress as you guys all move forward. So he really is an inspiration, and I have a feeling that each and every one of you will find a similar circumstance in your service to the Commonwealth and your friends and neighbors. But Noah's story is also one of the reasons why I invite us to do more than just debate issues. We need to know each other, as the speaker indicated earlier, learn one another's life stories in a personal and meaningful way. Since the founding of our republic, dating back to the very beginning, and I'm sure that will carry on long after we're all gone, issues will always have to be managed and debated. But as we do this business and make the important choices, I think it's incredibly helpful to know and understand each other's perspectives. My story is individual, just like each of yours, and I think it will help you understand who I am now and how I approach things in terms of solving the problems that we've been asked to govern. I'm from Lancaster County. My family's been there for 8 generations. We've lived in the same township since 1800. That was the first census that my family, who was originally Quaker, showed up in Drewmore Township. The people of my county are unique, just like each and every one of yours. They enjoy a simple life. They promote compassion and self-sufficiency. And I believe that they're incredibly generous. We have a program in Lancaster County called the Extraordinary Give. And the Extraordinary Give raised $10 million in 24 hours to benefit 500 local charities. And the generosity of our friends, families, neighbors, and business people in our county constantly overwhelm me. In fact, it's the very reason that I am here serving in this House today. Because as many of the returning members know, I get up on an annual basis and advocate regarding ALS research. And when you look at how I grew up on a small farmette, the back part of what used to be my grandparents' dairy farm. Many people here in the chamber probably would call us poor, but others, by different measure, might call us very rich, because we had the blessings of a wonderful family and a wonderful community. My dad was a welder at Sperry New Holland, which now I believe is Case New Holland after several reorganizations. And my mother was a nurse who worked at the local family physician's office and promoted values that I carry to this day. Work hard, be kind, say please and thank you, show respect, be thankful for the opportunity to serve, and honor yourself, others, and the Lord. You see, the generosity of the county was poured upon me and my family when my mother became ill. Followed by a short time period, about 10 months later, my father also became ill. And in what became a near statistical impossibility, both of my parents had Lou Gehrig's disease. And while no disease is particularly good, ALS is uniquely destructive. And our family absolutely answered the call. Our friends, our family, many of which are here with me today, both here on the floor as well as downstairs in the office, showed their loving compassion as they stopped and they brought us meals. They met our physical needs. They met our spiritual needs. We heat our house at that time and even today with firewood. And much to my kids' disappointment, we cut several cords of firewood and stack it every year. And back then was no different, except that our neighbors showed up. And for those of you who burn firewood, you only need about 3 or 4 cords probably to get through a mild winter, maybe 6 to 8 on a tough one. They split, stacked, and cut over 20 cords of firewood for our family in one afternoon. They showed up from all places. It was the Lions Club, it was our church, it was our relatives, it was friends and neighbors. And in times like that, you really learn to set your priorities straight. And I had a couple very simple truths. We always had more food than we knew what to do with. Each and every one showed up with a note of encouragement on it. All of the firewood literally was stacked all around the house. But the one immeasurable thing was how we were always surrounded by loving and caring people who understood a genuine biblical truth, that it is not good for man to be alone, particularly in times of trouble. And that sense of community allowed my sister and I, who has also joined me here on the House floor with my beautiful niece, we still led, remarkably, a somewhat normal childhood. I was 15, she was 13 when our parents were diagnosed. And because of their generosity, the same generosity we see today in the extraordinary give, we were able to participate in sports, hold a job, while we also helped our friends and family care for our dying parents. And I think that that demonstrates that we all have a purpose in life. And think about all the things that we share, the blessings of liberty and freedom, being born here in this country and in this Commonwealth. We're all together in how we're influenced by our economy, our friends and our neighbors, and the success or failure of the next generation of learners tomorrow will depend on the actions that we take today. Because we should never lose sight of what we were elected to do, and that is to be custodians of the representative democracy entrusted to us. We did not inherit it just from our forefathers. We are borrowing it from our children and grandchildren. Our system of government, even with its challenges and as dysfunctional as it can be at times, remains a city on the hill for all who believe that people, through the institution of government, can manage their own affairs. To me, our part in discharging that responsibility is serious and deserves our best efforts. And before my father passed away, he gave me three important life lessons that have been getting a lot of play in the media as I do interviews, because they're simple truths. And they are as follows. One, treat everyone with respect. Two, never ask someone to do something that you yourself aren't willing to do. And three, try to always leave things better than you found them. I can't imagine better words of advice for us as we begin this legislative session. And we should never forget that our General Assembly, the members gathered here, are truly an assembly of the people. We come from every geographic corner, every region, suburban, urban, and rural. We've all have different and valuable life experiences that we should share, different educational levels and income levels, and we all have a unique and equally important perspective to offer this institution, and most important, to each other. As we assemble over the next 2 years, I invite us to all live up to that high standard set in the Constitution that we swore an oath on earlier today, but also those same three simple promises that my father gave to me. And let us never forget that our reward comes with achieving that ideal, and that is this: we'll have the confidence of the people. Thank you so much for your willingness to serve, share your story, and be an active part of democracy and each and everything that our Constitution offers us. And I'll leave you with a quote from the late President Bush, whose service to our country inspired so many people. In his inaugural address, he said, "Some see leadership as high drama and the sound of trumpets calling, and sometimes it is that. But I see history as a book with many pages, and each day we will fill a page with the acts of hopefulness and meaning, and the new breeze blows that page, and it turns, and the story unfolds." And so today, a new chapter begins, a small and stately story of unity, diversity, and generosity, shared and written together. I hope that you share my excitement as we start this new chapter in Pennsylvania's history, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Leader Cutler, Brian, to you, Jennifer, and your three children, congratulations on assuming the important role of majority leader. And thank you for your outstanding remarks.